Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local, sponsored by People's Bank.
Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and I'd like to introduce your host of Business Talk. He's editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here is George O'Brien.
Okay, welcome everyone to another episode of Business Talk. We have a tremendous show for you today. I can't wait to get to it, but I will wait because first we need to hear this important message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we are back. And as promised, we have a terrific show for you today. We have with us Ray Barry, the founder and owner of White Lion Brewing. Ray, how are you today?
I am well, George. I hope you are in a good spirit. Always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
Well, thank you for that. I'm good spirit. I think that's your company tagline. No, it should be. So anyway, great to have you on the show today. We had you on, I'm guessing it was probably around a year ago, and a lot has happened in that year. And we want to get to that in a few minutes. You're becoming a presence here in downtown Springfield, and soon you're going to be a presence in downtown Amherst as well. And that's what we really want to get to. But
sure.
Start by just telling us how are the White Lion brand, how are we doing with spreading the name and getting your business to a higher level here?
Yeah, White Lion is from day one, George. It's been about the community first. We back into that, good liquid and a location to add to the overall experience. So since day one, this goes back many years now. It seems like yesterday, but 2014, 15 is when we first launched our product without a physical location. And we've been able to slowly build. We've had a number of hiccups along the way. COVID pushed us back a year. But just due to not only the support in the greater Springfield area, but also throughout Western Massachusetts, we've been able to slowly pick up some growth and look forward to the future.
So Ray, your downtown location opened to a great deal of fanfare last year. People couldn't wait till you came downtown, and you've become, in a lot of people's opinions, an important piece of the puzzle in downtown. Talk about how things have gone so far and how you are, like I said, one of those pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah, we always wanted to be part of the downtown landscape. It took us a while, but very fortunate enough, Tower Square has been a great partner. We're happy to be part of the city block. We're happy to be part of the downtown conversation. And, there's a number of moving parts still taking place in downtown, and we always wanted to be part of that ever-evolving renaissance. And so through great partnerships like The Bid and MGM and Springfield Thunderbirds and many of the other downtown establishments, we've been able to root ourselves and continue to exercise and demonstrate growth, continue to give back to the community. So it's been a win-win for us. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. So there's a long way to go. We're still a new business, but we're definitely looking forward to the future and being part of the downtown experiences.
Okay, you mentioned the Thunderbirds. Now, you had a special brew made for them. What was it called again?
So we've had an ongoing partnership with the Springfield Thunderbirds. I think it's great synergy, what they're trying to do, what we're trying to do, bring a different conversation into the fold. So we brewed a beer for them a couple of years ago called Thunder Boom, paying homage to the thunder part of Thunderbirds and their beautiful, great, energetic mascot, Boomer. So you have the Thunder Boom or the Boom part of Boomer added to it. And it's worked out. We call it the hometown beer. And we look forward to expanding on that conversation, hopefully, the 2022-2023 season.
Did you do a special brew for the playoffs as well?
Yeah, we did. We did. Everyone was just so excited for the Thunderbirds and all of the new energy and winnings that they brought to the Valley. So when they clinched and made it to the Calder Cup Finals, we scrambled and worked with the team and local design company to put together a special label, special beer for them as they went in and took on their opponent throughout the Calder Cup Finals.
Was it called 31 or something along those lines?
31 and done.
31 and
so,
done.
Okay. Yeah, it was our understanding and based off of our research that it was 30 years that it's been 30 years since we went to the Calder Cup Finals. So we were saying, listen, it's been 30 years. This is it. We're going to win it. And we're going to put that 30 years or 31 years behind us. So it didn't happen, but it will be back and we'll go for the cup again in this season, 2022, 2023.
Let's go from hockey to basketball. Talk about an exciting new development that you got going with Marcus Camby, my alma mater, UMass. He was a great star back there in the 90s and then went on to star in the NBA. And you're hooking up with him. You're going to open a location in downtown Amherst. Just below the Drake. This is a very, very exciting development. Tell us, first of all, how you connected with Marcus, how your partnership came together, and then kind of fast forward, if you would, and talk about what your plans are for downtown Amherst.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes it comes down to timing and other people believing in what you're trying to accomplish. And in this particular case, another hometown, City of Springfield, basketball player Travis Best, who played in the NBA for over a decade, introduced us to Marcus. Travis, every year pre-COVID for I think 12 consecutive years, did a enshrinement weekend party for folks that wanted to just come out and hang out and be part of the ongoing festivities. And when there was some relief from COVID, Travis had came to White Lion and said, listen, I'm looking to have another engagement and would love to talk about White Lion being part of the conversation. And at that time, the University of Massachusetts was about to pay homage and tribute to Marcus Camby, Julius Erving, and Coach Calipari by giving them or dedicating to them a statue. So the timing was right. I mean, Marcus and his team were going to be in town that weekend. And Travis did his best to circle the wagons and we were able to accomplish a block party in downtown Springfield and Marcus was the co-host. And that's really how the conversation started to happen.
Okay. So fast forward a little bit. Now you guys are business partners. How did that come about?
So Marcus obviously was in town for a while and had an opportunity to see what White Lion was doing just through that particular event, but he came in and wanted to learn more and I shared or our team had an opportunity to share with him our story, what we were trying to accomplish, who we were, where we were in the craft beer space. And I think it just basically, I think it intrigued him. I think that there was some unknowns about craft beer and, he left, I think, somewhat excited and he had a great time. Several weeks went by and his business manager reached out expressing that Marcus wanted to learn even more and, talk business to see what can transpire and see how he could help out in building the White Lion brand.
Obviously he has a great connection to Amherst, having played there and you've always had a interest in being in downtown Amherst and more to the point, I think downtown Amherst has always had an interest in you. So it sounds like these three prongs kind of came together. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's almost like a perfect storm, almost. I mean, even when we dig deeper, I mean, Mike Yates, my business partner, our head brewer, he's cut his teeth in the Amherst area. He was once the head brewer at Amherst Brewing in the exact venue that we're going to occupy. So he's high on the town of Amherst. I'm big on the town of Amherst and seeing what they've done and continue to do. It reminds me so much of the city of Springfield and what the downtown corridor is all about. There's a lot of similarities there. So, you know, pre-COVID, they had reached out, a number of stakeholders had reached out to see if White Lion was interested in coming to the town of Amherst. And obviously all of our ducks were in row for the city of Springfield and trying to accomplish what we were trying to accomplish here. And then COVID hit. So there was really no need to continue the conversation. We had parked that idea. But they stayed in our ear. And as we pushed through COVID, our COVID build out, I should say, we were able to reignite the conversation and slowly build it out and include Marcus in it. And, you know, several months later, here we are.
Very interesting. You talked about Springfield and Amherst. The communities are similar. Their business improvement districts are both active, and they both have the same goals for building vibrancy in their town. But the towns are a bit different. You've got 30 to 35,000 college students in that Amherst and Northtown area. That's certainly a different dynamic than what we have here in Springfield. You must be looking forward to bringing the White brand to such an incredible community like Amherst. Talk about what that's going to be like.
Yeah, there's a number of moving parts in the town of Amherst. Obviously, you have the education or the institutional culture. You have the town of Amherst residents. You have the downtown business district. There's a tremendous amount of transient or families, folks, people coming in and out of the area. What really attracts me, that not only does that really attract me and the principals of White Lion, but you know, just seeing Gabrielle, who's the executive director of the BID, and her energy and how she is trying to, you know, change some of the dynamics for the better of small business, and you know, the Drake coming back and the music venue right above where White Lion will be, all of those pieces made a tough decision easier. Because I mean, let's be real here. I mean, we're still a small business. The tap room in downtown Springfield is only 14 months old. So you never want to be in a position where you bite off more than what you can chew. And sometimes you, as just a business person, you want to grow, but you don't want to grow too quick. Because then you'll be looking back, talking about, you know, we wish we vetted this a little bit stronger. So, you know, there's always the lens of being cautious and having caution. And we've been able to demonstrate that thus far. And hopefully that we'll see this as the right decision for the growth of White Lion.
Okay. You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local and sponsored by People's Bank. We're talking with Ray Berry. He's the founder and owner of White Lion Brewery. We've been talking about the company's planned move into downtown Amherst and the success they've had in downtown Springfield today. Ray, I want to shift gears and talk about the whole craft brewing industry a little bit. I'm always been one of my fascinations. This has been an industry that grown by leaps and bounds in Massachusetts, in Western Massachusetts over the years. That growth has come with a number of challenges, competition, the pandemic. I think I read recently that you guys were just having trouble getting enough carbon dioxide to get your work done this year. So talk about the industry and where we're at. I know you were just at a conference recently, so tell us what's happening.
Yeah, no, to your point, George, the craft beer trade sector has grown 100-fold over the past 15, 20 years. There are over 8,500 breweries in the United States. There are over 230 over 200 in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And, you know, the trade in general is trying to become more inclusive and, you know, demonstrate inclusion. You know, there's less than 1% of the breweries in the country are Black and Brown owned, less than 1% in the Commonwealth are Black and Brown owned. I think there's only 5 of us or 6 of us in the Commonwealth, you know, and for any trade.
Why is that? I know it's a capital intensive industry, but are there other barriers to this?
Well, I mean, the trade will tell you, there's no secret. I mean, when you're in a trade, there's a perception that the trade is male, white male dominant, and for whatever reason. But there are a number of stakeholders, number of guilds in each respective state, the Brewers Association, which is our national body. We've all been collectively trying to change the conversation, highlighting the opportunities in the trade. Breweries such as White Lion and others throughout the country, you know, the small percentage have been playing its own respective role and being a voice and showcasing opportunity for Black, Brown, women, et cetera. So, you know, we're a trade that's still growing. And even though there's over 8,000 breweries, there's challenges associated with that. But we have to put our best foot forward and lead and model the way. And White Lion is part of that conversation.
Now, they always say, no matter what business you're in, the competition is good. But I guess in the brewery business, competition is really good. The more of you out there, the more interest that this creates. And it just, you know, Massachusetts becomes more known for its craft beers. People
absolutely
come here and they go on craft beer trails. Talk about how the more competition, the better it is for you guys.
It is. I mean, so here we are. The city of Springfield is the third largest city in the Commonwealth. And we have two breweries in the city, and we're the only brewery in downtown, which where a lot of the, you know, the foot and vehicle traffic resides and a lot of the business community resides. Rustic is another brewery, a nano brewery out in Indian Orchard, who does their thing in their own respective right. But when you look at other towns like East Hampton and Westfield, and, you know, they have multiple breweries. And when you have multiple breweries in a footprint, it really does become a unique experience. You'll have people come out of their way or go out of their way, excuse me, to go to a White Lion or go to a brewery X or brewery Y in close proximity, because it gives them an opportunity to experience all three or four breweries. So I would love to see, and I think there's some ongoing conversation, I would love to see, you know, another brewery or cidery or distillery in the downtown footprint. And that's going to create, you know, more foot traffic, more vehicle traffic. And it also creates an economic spinoff where someone will come to White Lion, they'll go to the Symphony and go to White Lion, then they'll go to Theodore's and Nadim's or another brewery or another distillery. And it really does change the experience of downtown and creates a more blended destination where folks don't just have to come and go to a restaurant and then go home, or go to a concert and go home, or go to a hockey game and go home. No, they can pregame at White Lion, or they can pregame at another brewery or distillery, or pre-eat at a restaurant and then post-game at a brewery. And that's really what it's all about. You want to create a dynamic where folks can come, feel comfortable, bounce around, and businesses can survive and benefit from that.
Are we there yet in Western Mass, or do we still have a ways to go?
No, there's always going to be a journey. There's always going to be a challenge. I mean, you never want to be in a position, this is just my opinion, where you say we've made it. Because as soon as you say we've made it, then the next city or town is going to jump in and take over. We can just look as far as our good friends up in Northampton. Northampton was a strong destination at one time. There may have been the perception that they made it, but there's other challenges that come with that. So you always got to be hungry. You always got to push forward. You always got to look for the changes that are taking place in the economic landscape. And we have to be part of that. We can never sit on our laurels. We always have to push forward.
Has cannabis changed the landscape in any way? I've read and heard that cannabis has in some ways become competition for the brewery industry, the alcohol industry in general. Truth to that?
Absolutely. I mean, the legalization of cannabis, and not only cannabis, George, but even the spirit and liquor trade has put a dent into the overall craft beer conversation. You have what they call ready to drink cocktails, where you can go to your local package store and pick up a mixture of rum and coke or gin and tonic at a light ABV. You don't have to worry about buying a bottle of soda or a bottle of liquor or a can of soda or a can of liquor. You already have it in one apparatus, and you can go pick up a 4-pack, 6-pack, 12-pack. So that too has impacted the craft beer economic portfolio. So, you know, again, it gets back to the conversation we just had. You have to be cognizant of the changes that are taking place, be in a position to pivot. You cannot just go down one lane in this particular trade. You have to be ready to embark on multiple lanes. And that's what, you know, White Lion has to do that to survive. And that's one of the reasons why we look at a secondary location. That's one of the reasons why we have the mobile beer truck and strong strong engagement with the community by doing outdoor events and programming, not only in the city of Springfield, but Amherst and Westfield and Holyoke. So you just have to be cognizant of and be in a position to take advantage of the partnerships that you've created and the lanes that you've created. And that's what we're going to do and continue to do.
Okay. Well, continued good luck to you, Ray. It's a fascinating story. We've covered it from the beginning, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. Continued good luck to you moving forward.
And we appreciate your support, George, to the whole Business West family. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Cheers.
And thank you to all of you for tuning in to another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local and sponsored by People's Bank. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West. We'll see you next time.